Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. As always, we begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Checkered Moon. Longtime local boutique to close in February. This article is written by Jana Wiersema and is based out of Champaign. Sorry, that's Jana, J-A-N-A. A local shop that's been a community staple for a quarter of a century will close its doors next month. Sharon Crow, C-R-O-W, owner of Checkered Moon, has announced her plans to close the store on February 26th as she will be retiring and moving to Florida to be near family. I give my sincere thanks to all who have supported this sweet little shop that I call home, she told the News Gazette. The shop, which has moved a few times over the years, is currently located in the Carriage Center at 2007 South Neal Street. Crow was a recent transplant to Champaign when she opened Checkered Moon in the year 2000. I have a design background and had worked with friends on their homes, and one day a friend asked, "Why don't you open a shop?" she said. I didn't think much, and I just drove in head first. A few months later, Checkered Moon was born. Crow said she crafted the shop to reflect her Florida roots and to be modern, friendly, and fun. Items for sale at the store include household goods, decor, clothing, and items for infants. Crow said she is both excited for her next chapter and sad to be leaving behind the community she found among her customers and staff. Checkered Moon was never just a business. It was a place where I watched families grow, celebrated milestones, and built forever friendships, she said. And there's a photograph of the exterior of the store, Checkered Moon. And the caption reads, "A locally owned and operated boutique at 2007 South Neal Street, Champaign, is closing in late February as the proprietor plans to relocate to Florida and retire." That photo is provided. So get to the boutique before it closes in about a month. At newsgazette.com, have a question about local comings and goings? Kathy Reiser's mailbag is open for submissions. The next headline reads, and it's actually just a large photo front and center of the A section of the paper. It's called Strike Up the Band. And it's people in a room playing brass instruments. And they're dressed in kind of blue U of I attire. The caption reads, "Members of the Marching Illini perform during Monday night sports talk at the Esquire in downtown Champaign. Marching Illini director Barry Hauser brought along 40 members of the band to play during the hour-long radio show that aired on WDWS 1400 AM and 93.9 FM. Once they were done playing at the Esquire, several went on to play at Monday night's Illinois-Purdue women's basketball game at State Farm Center in Champaign. I sent a message out to the band, and that was completely voluntary. And this was completely voluntary, he said. And 40 of our members came forward and said they wanted to do this. Hauser told the crowd, full of Illini fans, "They're great students, truly spectacular and always giving to this university." For more photos and to see more of our photographer's work, you can visit at News Gazette on Instagram. The next headline reads, out of Danville Police, double homicide probe still very active. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey and is based out of Danville. 2 months after two people were killed and a third injured in a shooting at a barber shop on East Main Street, police detectives say they are actively working on leads and looking into tips. It's still very active, Police Deputy Chief Terry McCord said of the investigation, which has yet to net any arrests. There's a lot going on. The November 27th incident at A Plus Cuts, C-U-T-Z, resulted in the deaths of Keith G. Stone Jr., 33, of Danville, and a 17-year-old whose name has not yet been released. A third individual was injured. The local Three Kings of Peace group stated it would offer a $2,000 reward for information that leads to an arrest. Group member Ed Butler said the shooting involved rival gangs. Barbershop owner Terry Gord said he feels the shooting was targeted toward one person who had never been in his shop before. A person came in, I didn't know the guy, came in and opened fire on an individual, he said, adding he came in for an individual, shot that individual, and on the way out, shot another individual. I don't know how or why, he said. It's just a messed up situation. I'm definitely praying for the families. I've never had a fight or an argument in my barbershop. The shop has resumed operations. It's unsettling, but we're just keeping moving forward, Gord said. And he's hopeful police will make an arrest. It's a sad situation. He said people have reached out wanting to talk about it. Negative things spread faster than positive things, Gord said, so I don't want to add more fuel to the negativity. Gord said he's glad his reputation precedes him in how he does business and prides himself on good character, such that parents will bring in and sometimes leave their children there for haircuts. Gord has 4 employees. He said he cuts hair less now because he is leading the Danville Area Community College's new barbering program, and the first class started last week. Police ask anyone with information about the shooting to contact them at the following phone number, 217-431-2250. That's 217-431-2250. Arrangements can be made to share information privately. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477. That's 217-446-8477. Tipsters are always 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers and receive a code to check on rewards. All tips are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. And there's one photo that accompanies this article. It's an exterior image of the A-Plus Cuts Barbershop. The caption reads, "The A-Plus Cuts Barbershop in the 1900 block of East Main Street in Danville was the scene of a triple shooting in November that left 2 people dead and a 3rd person injured." That's a file photo of A-Plus Cuts. The next headline reads, from Bob Asmussen, "Scouting the Ice. Members of Troop 1310, or 1310, enjoy their first hockey game." This is based out of Champaign. Local Boy Scout Troop 1310 from Pilgrim Missionary Baptist Church is always looking for a new adventure. Scoutmaster Peter McFarland found one on January 18th in Bloomington. Hockey. Actually, hockey found the troop. Officials with the Bloomington Bison of the Eastern Collegiate Hockey League, or ECHL, that's Eastern Collegiate Hockey League, ECHL, reached out to McFarland and other Boy Scout groups in the state with this simple question. Want to take a look at the team? The answer was a quick yes. The party of 17 from Troop 1310, including 12 scouts and 5 adults, loved it. "First hockey game ever for me and the kids," said McFarland, a 68-year-old Champaign native. "It's a different sport. They really enjoyed it. They like the atmosphere, the dancing, the fun, the skating, checking against the wall. And the Bison showed off their new fans, beating the Utah Grizzlies 4-1 at 7,000-seat Grossinger Motors Arena. It was the team's 4th win in a row. One of the Troop 1310 scouts got a puck hit into the stands, the perfect souvenir for their first hockey experience. The troop sat close to the protective glass that surrounds the ice. The kids were great," McFarland said. The adults had fun too. The travel party included scouts Malachi Bayman, Jameer Purier, Stanley Smith, Alec Penn, Nathan Schaffer, Spencer Collins, Malik Howard, Tristan Wesley, and Amari Wilson. They were joined by adults Cubmaster Marilyn Heisham, Faith Perrier, Gabriel Staffer, Raymond Carter, and McFarland. They all had questions about some of the rules, like icing and offsides. There were people behind us that were explaining the hockey game to us, McFarland said. Troop 1310 wasn't the only one from Champaign at the game. Troop 13 was also in attendance. Long history. Troop 1310 has been together for 25 years, one of the longest tenured in the area. The scouts range in age from 5 to 18. Before the game, members of Troop 1310 handled color guard duties during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner. The color guard was patrol leader Tristan Wesley, American flag Malik Howard, and troop flag Tristan Wesley. A few years back, Troop 1310 had the color guard duties for a Harlem Globetrotters game at the State Farm Center. I'd like to do more color guard events with our kids, McFarland said. After Saturday's game, the team sponsored a sleepover in the arena for the visiting Boy Scouts. We didn't stay, McFarland said. We had to get back for church the next day. Maybe when they return in 2026, which McFarland is all for. They want to go back, McFarland said. Life lessons. Growing up in Champaign, McFarland wasn't a Boy Scout himself. He values the organization and wanted the church to be a part of it. I just thought it was good for the kids to be involved and learn more about scouting, he said. And not only that, we kind of pushed them to be Eagle Scouts. Troop 1310 isn't done with sports for the year. Later in the winter, there are plans to attend a University of Illinois women's basketball game at the State Farm Center. We try to keep them busy going to different events, McFarland said. There are camping trips scheduled for the summer. McFarland plans 5 to 6 events each year. McFarland spent 43 years as a technical engineer at WCIA-TV. He retired 3 years ago and is enjoying life. Now he can check off hockey from his to-do list. Bob Asmussen is a college football reporter and columnist for the News Gazette. He can be reached by phone or email. His phone number is 217-393-8248. That's 217-393-8248. Or by email, his email address is Asmussen, @newsgazette.com. And there are a couple of photos that accompany this article. One is a group shot of the boys in the Boy Scout troop in the arena in chairs, and they're all kind of, it's a fairly large group, sitting in chairs, smiling at the camera. The caption reads, "Members of Champaign Boy Scout Troop 1310 attended the January 18th Bloomington Bison game at Grossinger Motors Arena. It was the first hockey game for the Scouts." And that image is provided. And then there is a picture of them doing the color guard, I think either at the beginning of the game or in intermission, probably the beginning of the game. It's a few boys holding flags on the ice. The caption reads, "Members of Champaign Boy Scout Troop 1310 serve as the color guard for the January 18th Bloomington Bison hockey game at Grossinger Motors Arena in Bloomington." And again, that photo is provided. Congratulations to them. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. The flag outside Weldon Termite and Pest Control, that's Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N, Termite and Pest Control, a longtime family business tucked away on South County Fair Drive, is tiny but mighty. It's flown in honor of Frank, quote-unquote Sam, nickname Sam Weldon, a U.S. Marine who served in World War II and survived the Battle of Iwo Jima. You can visit newsgazette.com for his take, or for his tale. Corporal Weldon died in 2022 at the age of 96. Our American flag not only honors my grandfather, Sam, but it also honors all veterans in general who served or are serving in the military, said his grandson, Justin Weldon. The business is January's recipient of Champaign American Legion Post 24's monthly award for proper display of the flag. Justin, his brother Adam, and their father Tom were happy to add the plaque to what's becoming a wall of fame at work. "The flag means the world to us," said Tom, who opened the business in 2006 and will celebrate his 70th birthday on Saturday. "Dad lived for that. All he talked about was everybody's freedom," said Chuck Zielinski, who delivered the good news. "There was a tremendous amount of pride and smiles from the family as they shared with me how Sam always had a story to share with them or whoever was in earshot." have a flag display to nominate. You can call Zelensky, that's Chuck Zelensky, Zelinsky, at 217-356-5114. That's 217-356-5114, or email, I think it's al24champagne@gmail.com. February's winner will be announced during Ann Roten's Standard Time program on WDWS 1400 AM, 93.9 FM. Tune in at 7:15 AM Sundays. And there's a group photo of three men. One is standing in the center holding the plaque. And they're all kind of in hoodies, but smiling. From left, Justin, Tom, and Adam Weldon. That photo is provided. Congratulations to Weldon Termite and Pest Control. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, streetcar number 33, that has seen almost continuous service in the Twin Cities for 20 years, the last few as line and trouble car, has finally been retired with nothing in view but the scraphead. Number 43, recently taken from the Wright Street line, has graduated to the position of line car, and resplendent with a new bell and tower, will patrol the lines and answer trouble calls. In 1975, Governor Dan Walker's veto of a $34 million tax relief program for Illinois senior citizens angered more than a few state officials and elderly persons. The measure, passed by the House 124-3 and the Senate 43-3, had the support of 16 senior citizens organizations in the state. Under the legislation, Illinois senior citizens living on an income of under $10,000 a year would receive an average of $70 to $90 annually. An estimated 457,000 people were to benefit from the program. In 2010, a Danville Area Community College, or DAC, organization is launching an effort to help earthquake victims in Haiti, as well as three international students from that country. International history, today's highlight, on January 28th, 1986. The space shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds after liftoff from Cape Canaveral, Florida, killing all seven crew members, including schoolteacher Krista McAuliffe. Also on this date in 1547, England's King Harry VIII died at age 55. He was succeeded by his 9-year-old son, Edward VI. In 1813, the novel Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen was first published anonymously in London. That's 1813. In 1922, 98 people were killed when the roof of the Knickerbocker Theater in Washington, D.C. collapsed under the weight of nearly 2 feet of snow. In 1956, Elvis Presley made his first national TV appearance on Stage Show, a CBS program hosted by Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey. And in 1986, U.S. diplomats, who had avoided being taken hostage at their embassy in Tehran, flew out of Iran with the help of Canadian diplomats. The events were later dramatized in the film Argo. The next headline reads, Champaign County Board, critics say ban on carbon sequestration not enough. This article is written by Jana Wiersema and is based out of Urbana. The Champaign County Board has approved a 1-year ban on carbon sequestration projects within its jurisdiction. However, for some, the measure doesn't go far enough. This includes board member John Farney, who made a motion at Thursday's board meeting to amend the proposed ordinance so that the ban would be permanent. However, the measure did not succeed. "I felt like it was the right thing to do," he said. "This is our one source of water." He added that he does not want incidents like the Archer Daniels Midland leaks in Decatur to repeat themselves here. Board Chair Jennifer Locke, who voted against the motion, said she agrees with the spirit of Farney's proposal, but wants to ensure the county follows proper procedure in this matter. "We've got processes in place for passing ordinances that affect zoning, with amending on zoning, and I would hate for us to do something that hadn't circulated or calculated all of the other issues that could happen, like somebody justifiably challenging us for not following the processes, she said. She added that they hope to assemble a task force of experts, county board members, and zoning officials who can work together to figure out the right way to make the ban permanent, if that's what's best. At the state level, State Senator Chapin Rose, a Republican from Mahomet, has introduced a bill that would prohibit carbon sequestration projects over any federally designated sole source aquifer, including, without limitation, the Mahomet Sole Source Aquifer. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, the Mahomet Aquifer is the only sole source aquifer in Illinois. Rose said he chose this wording in order to be proactive in case of future designations. Like Farney, Rose feels that the only legitimate option is a permanent ban. He added that he is working with a bipartisan coalition on this effort, including State Senator Paul Faraci, a Democrat from Champaign, State Representative Carol Ammons, a Democrat from Urbana, and State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, a Republican from Danville. Just like when we got the sole source aquifer designation, it took time, but you don't give up the fight, Rose said. Farney likewise said he will continue to work with other county boards on local efforts to protect the aquifer, which provides drinking water to nearly 1 million people in central Illinois, according to Prairie Rivers Network. More than 1,000 communities and rural homeowners in 15 counties rely on this water every day, the organization wrote in an online petition calling for a ban on carbon sequestration under the aquifer. The problem with leaving things up to the Illinois General Assembly, Farney said, is that often it's the legislators from Chicago who make decisions for the entire state without consulting the entire state. I'm very worried that we're going to see that again with this situation, even though our local legislators say that they support a permanent ban, they're going to introduce legislation for a permanent ban, he said. Things happen in Springfield at the last minute, and it seems to me that central Illinois ends up losing just about every time that happens. In addition to approving the one-year moratorium on carbon sequestration activities, the county board also voted to appoint Assistant Superintendent John Kelly, J-O-N, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, as the regional superintendent for Champaign and Ford County Schools, effective March 1st. Farney, who works for the Regional Office of Education, abstained from the vote. Regional Superintendent Gary Lewis has announced his plans to retire, and Kelly will finish out the remainder of his term, which ends June 30th, 2027. At newsgazette.com, what say you? Let us know by submitting a letter to the editor online. And now we'll quickly take a look at our weather forecast for the next few days. It's warming up a little bit. Today, 46 degrees, sunny, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, increasing to southwest 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour in the afternoon. Overnight, mostly clear, west winds 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 43, the low will be 33. Sunny, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Overnight, mostly clear. Thursday, the high will be 45, the low will be 25, partly sunny, a 40% chance of rain in the afternoon. Friday, the high will be 44, the low will be 36, mostly cloudy. Rain is at 70% chance, likely, mainly in the morning, so that's Friday, some rain. Saturday, no rain, but mostly cloudy with a high of 41 and a low of 28. The next headline reads, now moving into the B section of the paper, Town Hall, where people write editorials and guest columns. Jay Simpson, Jay's Take, that's Jay, J-A-Y, Simpson, S-I-M-P-S-O-N, Jay's Take. Kids need more than tough love. Life is all about relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, or your kids. And one thing I've learned through my own journey is that navigating these relationships isn't black and white. It's not just about being tough, nor is it about being soft all the time. It's about finding the balance between vulnerability and tough love, especially when it comes to raising kids. Growing up, tough love was all I knew. It shaped me into the person I am today. But it also taught me some hard lessons about the importance of love, gentleness, and appreciation. Things I'm trying to pass on to my kids differently. Man, let me tell you, I was raised in a family full of go-getters. My mother didn't sugarcoat anything, and I respect her for it. She believed in me, but her way of showing love was through discipline and high expectations. Ain't no handouts, she'd say, and that stuck with me. But sometimes it felt like the love got lost in the grind. I can't lie, it shaped my work ethic and gave me a thick skin, but it also made me hesitant to show vulnerability, to let people see me when I'm not all put together. Now as a father, I catch myself falling into that same pattern. My kids look up to me and I want them to be tough, but I also want them to know it's okay to feel, express, and to be loved on. Take my sons, for example. I coach them in basketball and I push them hard. I see greatness in them and I refuse to let them settle for average. I've learned that being tough on them all the time isn't enough. I've had to step back and tell my oldest son, "Yo, I'm proud of you. You're killing it out there." That means more to him than any critique ever could. Same with my baby girl. She's only 3, but she's already got her brothers looking out for her. With her, I've learned that sometimes it's just about being present, holding her when she's upset, and letting her know she's my whole world. It's in those moments of gentleness that I realize tough love ain't the only kind of love kids need. Breaking the cycle is a conscious choice, though. It's easy to slip into the mindset, I'm doing this for their own good, but you have to check yourself. Tough love is important. It builds resilience and character, but if that's all you give, you'll miss out on those vulnerable moments that strengthen the bond between you and your kids. I remind myself to give my kids their flowers while they're here, to tell them I see their effort, that I love them, and they don't have to earn my approval because it's already theirs. It's crazy how much a little acknowledgement can do for a child's confidence and spirit. So yes, it's a balance. I'm still learning. But what I do know is that you can't love someone right if you're too scared to be vulnerable. Tough love is necessary, but so is showing up with open arms and an open heart. I want my kids to grow up knowing that it's okay to cry, fall, and lean on me when life gets rough. I want them to see that strength isn't just about how much you can carry. It's also about knowing when to let go, when to heal, and when to just be. That's the legacy I'm trying to leave behind. One that's built on love, vulnerability, and realness. Much love. Jay Simpson writes for the News Gazette. He can be reached by email at jsimpson, J-S-I-M-P-S-O-N, at newsgazette.com. Next up, voting matters. Help us choose our high school athletes of the week. You can determine who wins this weekly award presented by Copper Creek. Head to newsgazette.com before voting closes at noon on Thursday. And here are this week's nominees. Male Athlete of the Week, Ronald Baker III, Champaign Central Wrestling, Briley Carter, Clinton Wrestling, Brock Owens, Leroy Tri-Valley Wrestling, Josiah Williams, Danville Wrestling. And Female Athletes of the Week nominees are Amelia Sharp from Iroquois West Basketball, Lily Sizemore from Gibson City Melvin Sibley Basketball, Anna Vasi from Unity Wrestling, and Kylie Waldinger from Muhammad Seymour Basketball. And as a quick reminder, the News Gazette is a daily newspaper owned by Central Illinois Multimedia Group, Post Office Box 677, Champaign, Illinois 61824-0677. Paul Barrett is the Executive Vice President Publisher. Jeff D'Alessio is the editor. Jim Rosso is the Vice President of News. And Nico Dugan is the Managing Editor. The News Gazette offices are located at 2101 Fox Drive in Champaign. The number is 217-351-5266, 217-351-5266. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette for today, Tuesday, January 28th, 2025. Thanks for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.